President Trump's press conference on China was short, but not sweet. He opened with a long list of Chinese violations against the world, including laying blame for the spread of the COVID-19 squarely on the shoulders of Chinese leaders. And he closed by detailing how China has broken its promise to the world on Hong Kong. That was a shot fired. Now we wait for the volley and to see if ag trade is included.
Live from the precipice of porcine preoccupation via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Christine McCracken from Rabo. And in the final segment, I will update you the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. The edge of porcine preoccupation, is that what you said?
The precipice of porcine preoccupation. Precipice.
Got it.
Porcine preoccupation coming ahead.
I love it. Hashtag pork week, everybody.
That's right.
We are going to lay the foundation today, and then next week is pork week at Farm Journal. It is pork week on AgriTalk. It is all about pigs and pork next week and all of the craziness that we are dealing with in the industry right now. Not only are we going to try to, you know, define the situation that we're in right now, but identify those opportunities on how to improve the situation that we're in right now, what a recovery might look like as we recover from this hole that we've gotten ourselves into, and then the outlook. Now, we've got Christine McCracken on today from Rabo. We're going to talk some outlook and what it might mean for pork supplies in the second half of the year and what that might mean for prices.
Okay.
Next week, we will also do that a couple of times. We've got Brian Grady, Jeff Wilson scheduled. We've got Dan Huber scheduled. We've got Scott Brown scheduled for next week. So we're going to be talking outlook and get the thoughts of what some of the guys that spend a lot of time thinking about what's happening in this hog industry really dive deep into what they think is the industry is going to look like at the end of the year versus what it looks like right now. But we're going to lay that groundwork today with Christine. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Wow. Not a lot of action in the corn market today. We saw some pressure on soybeans. Wheat tried to rally and saw some decent gains there. Lean hogs clawed back from early session losses and closed with some solid gains in the back month contracts, and live cattle were under pressure. All right, Davis, what was moving them around?
Well, Chip, export sales of wheat in the weekend at May 21 totaled just over 706,000 metric tons, with 210,000 sold for 2019-20 delivery and nearly 497,000 for delivery in the 2021 marketing year. The combined total topped trade expectations, but sources pointed to declining crop potential in Europe and the Black Sea region as the primary sources of support. Chip, technically, July SRW wheat futures were on the defensive at the start of the week, but recovered nicely into the end of the week to post the highest close since May 8. July hard red winter wheat was 6.5 cents higher at 470.5. July soft red jumped 6.25 cents to close at 520.75. July spring wheat firmed 5.75 cents to close at 525 even. Chip.
Yeah, talking with the analysts this week about the wheat market, it was really kind of a fascinating conversation that we had, because some wanted to focus on demand. Some wanted to focus on those dry conditions in eastern Colorado, western Kansas, down into Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Others said it's none of that matters. It's all about the growing conditions in Europe and the Black Sea region and what's happening with the European prices. So in the week ahead, we're going to continue to monitor all of it. July wheat this week, the SRW contract was up 12 cents from last Friday's close. Get this, HRW July up 26 cents.
Wow.
And the July spring wheat contract up 12.25 from last Friday.
Corn export sales in the weekend of May 21 were short of trade expectations. Old crop sales totaled just over 427,000 metric tons, with new crop sales of just over 46,000 metric tons. USDA this morning also announced the sale of nearly 102,000 metric tons of old crop corn for delivery to an unknown destination. professional trading funds are still loaded on the short side of the corn market, but some short covering heading into the end of the week helped corn futures close higher for four consecutive sessions, leading up to today's slightly lower close. July corn futures were 1¾ cents lower at 325¾. September corn slipped a penny and three quarters to 330 even. December corn closed at 338¾, down a penny and a half today, Chip.
Yeah, the unknown destination on that 102,000 metric tons of corn sold that USDA announced this morning to an unknown destination. The trade talk is that that's Mexico back in here buying. So we've got Mexico doing a fair amount of value buying, I guess I would call it, in this market right now. On the week, July corn up 7¾. Dece corn up 6 cents. So yesterday and today, the first 3 days of the week, we just kind of pushed to the upside, gave a little bit of it back today. But yesterday was a big day. That was a good close that we had in the corn market yesterday.
Soybean export sales in the weekend of May 21 were in line with pre-report trade expectations, with old crop sales reported at just over 644,000 metric tons and new crop sales of 203,000 tons. USDA this morning also reported the sale of 132,000 metric tons of U.S. beans for delivery to China. The sales tally was evenly split between old and new crop shipments. However, Chip, China also continued to book supplies from South America, buying more than 600,000 metric tons of Brazilian beans this week. Technically, July beans are stuck in a sideways trading range. July bean futures 6¼ cents lower, 840¾. August beans slipped 5¾ cents to close at 843½. November bean futures closed at 851¾. That's down 4¼ today.
Yeah, it feels like another Chinese buying binge that's going on, because they are accumulating some supplies from the U.S., but a lot of it they are also accumulating from Brazil. And another 10 cargoes this week. That was a big week of Brazilian bean buying. On the week, July beans up 7½ cents. November beans up 7¼ cents.
Cotton export sales in the weekend of May 21 totaled nearly 45,000 running bales for delivery in the old crop marketing year, with new crop sales of nearly 172,000 bales. July cotton was 2 points higher, 57.59. December cotton slipped 6 ticks, 57.48. And on the livestock side, after pushing higher the first 3 days of the holiday shortened week, live cattle futures retraced nearly all of this week's gains before pushing back up to a mid-range close. June live cattle futures were $1.75 lower, 99.72½. August cattle fell 157½ to 99.60, and August feeders off 15 cents, 135.35. And on the snout side, lean hog futures posted a second consecutive downside price gap, but back month contracts recovered to close solidly higher on support from export demand. USDA reported export sales of more than 20,500 metric tons of pork last week, with Mexico and China topping the list of buyers. Shipments were also robust, with China taking delivery of more than 15,000 tons of U.S. pork. June lean hogs were 7½ cents lower today at 56.85, and July firmed $1.37½ to 57.02½. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Yeah, on the week, July cotton was off 2 ticks. It's so amazing for that market to trade around like it did this week, and then you end up down 2 ticks from last Friday. Pretty crazy. June live cattle up $2.25. August feeder cattle, get this one, up 6.55. That was our percentage.
Oh, hello.
No, it was not our percentage mover of the week. That goes to the July hard red winter wheat contract and the gains there. June lean hogs down $1.92½. Christine's up next. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
Join AgriTalk the first week of June for Pork Week, paying tribute to the pork producers who bring lean and nutrient-rich pork to your table. Coverage brought to you by Merck, PIC, United Animal Health, Alltech Hubbard, and HiPork. Learn more at porkbusiness.com.
Sack of clothes,
David.
Free and easy down the road I go. pay.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. Davis, what is one of the things that I've been saying that this whole COVID thing is causing, like, everybody to do?
We're pulling
the future forward, man.
Oh, okay.
Remember? I've been talking about it.
I thought we were going with pulling the pin, but that's something different.
No, that's a whole different deal. That is something completely different. We're pulling the future forward because we're being forced to use some technologies that we didn't anticipate using quite yet. We're having to do that. Well, we're pulling the future forward on Pork Week this week.
I see where you're going with all this.
There you go.
Now I'm on board.
We are going to get it started. We are going to get it started. And let's bring in Christine McCracken right now. She is the executive director for animal protein research for Rabo Research and Rabo AgriFinance. She joins us right now. Christine, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, just fine. So, Christine, if you go back 60 days from right now into the past, did you ever think that this industry would be in the kind of turmoil that it is in right now?
Boy, it's been a rough spring. I think after last year, I was expecting this year to be a little easier, but I didn't anticipate all of this for sure.
Well, yeah, Christine, you bring up a good point right there about what was expected this year, and I think one of the things that makes this so frustrating, and correct me if I'm wrong, if your research wasn't pointing to this, let me know here, but a lot of producers expected 2020 to be a recovery year for the hog industry, and to get some revenues back and to get some profits back into the industry, and then this Black Swan event just kind of erased all that potential for a lot of guys.
It sure did. We were looking for a really big export year, and we've certainly seen, a good start to the year. But all of this disruption that we've had at the food service level and obviously with these plants has really set the industry back. And it's going to be a tough, few months trying to work our way out of this hole. I don't know how it's going to look here to end the year. There's still a lot we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I want to, let's talk demand here for just a second, because you mentioned it, the demand shock that we experienced when the shutdowns happened on the food service, the restaurant industry. I've been following and covering the hog markets for 30 years, Christine, and I've never seen a demand shock like that any market had to absorb for the way that pork had to deal with it.
Yeah, it was a really unexpected shift, and not easy for most processors to deal with. I think it hit bellies obviously really hard. And we just couldn't move quickly enough to kind of, shift all of that product into the retail channel. And it's been a tough kind of few weeks here as we've tried to find new ways to absorb some of that. But, I think the industry is doing a good job of catching up on some of that. And now with some of these restaurants reopening, the bacon demand is starting to come back for some of it. We just, we have to get it in the right form and in the right place. And that's always a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. And the right form, that's interesting because as specialized as the production or processing has become, dairy was an eye-opening experience for me to go through all of this, because dairy suffered the same kind of demand shock that pork did because of the restaurant and food service shutdowns. Some might even argue that it was worse. But it unveiled to me just how specialized the processing side of the equation is for dairy. It's similar to that for pork in a lot of ways, Christine, because you're exactly right. It's got to be in the right format, in the right packaging, in the right everything. And it's different than retail or grocery store level when we're talking about that food service and the restaurant side of things. You also mentioned the packing plants and the issues that we're dealing with there. So we went from this demand destruction that happened just boom, over to an inability to keep up with the processing of the hogs. Just this week, Storm Lake, Tyson plant up at Storm Lake, Iowa. It sounds like they are temporarily closing that plant there. Where are we in that whole process, do you think, Christine? What is our capacity level at the end of this week?
Yeah, and that's a tough week to, it's a holiday
Yeah.
shortened week, so it's a little tough to say. But with Storm Lake down and some of the labor issues at a couple other plants, we're probably running at 80-85% of normal. We need to be above 90 to kind of start catching up on some of this backlog, and we're not there right now. And it's
Right.
not just labor to get these, pigs through the plants. It's also to get, the deboning and processing, kind of, that further processing handled. And so it's very complicated. The labor issues, unfortunately, are kind of through the entire plant, and they aren't necessarily getting better everywhere. So, I'm optimistic that as we get through the summer here, that things will get better. And I don't expect Storm Lake to be down very long.
Right.
But I do, we need to get, these plants operating at full capacity just to catch up on this backlog of hogs.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You said 90%. If we could get there, that would help, and it would. I'll take it next week if we can get there, but it doesn't catch us up. You go back to the WASDE report that we got earlier this month. And USDA had that big month-to-month cut in estimated 2020 pork production. We kind of highlighted it as the maybe the most important number that we had in that whole WASDE report. That cut to the production estimate, how many pigs might that suggest won't be processed this year that we thought were going to be processed earlier in the year?
Yeah, well, it's a couple million, and it is a big deal, only in that we aren't going to be able to get all of that through. The producers have been put in a difficult position because they haven't had a place to go with these pigs. They've taken some really, big steps and difficult decisions that they've made here over the last several weeks to start curbing production, to kind of, right size things for the outlook, not just from a demand perspective, but also from a capacity, perspective. And it's got to align, right? You've got to have enough room for those pigs to go. We were always concerned about the fourth quarter, even coming into this year. And we continue to outdo ourselves. Productivity has been outstanding. I think that's one thing that maybe got lost in all of this is that, the industry does such a good job, and continues to make these big gains, but that just adds further pressure, to the industry in terms of the amount of production that we're needing to deal with. So they did make some tough choices to kind of get things back in line, and that's reflected in that WASDE report when we talk
Yeah.
about, a drop in total production.
Yeah, boy, that was a an eye-opener, and it made you realize just what we were going to have to go through to get back to it. Christine, we added good capacity. I don't know exactly what a percentage increase it was, but we've added good capacity to the industry, processing capacity over the past couple of years. And here we were already in a position where we were going to be looking at, gosh, can we keep up when we got to the fourth quarter? Because of the expansion on the hog side of things, so much of that was driven by expectations of exports, right?
Yeah, well, it was that, and I think people did start adding a lot of, a lot of animals to the herd, and obviously these productivity numbers just, I think we really
Yeah.
continue to outdo ourselves, and I think that is, a big part of that. When I look back at where our forecasts were, where we really came up, dramatically underestimating is just how much we would get on that production side. So, it's great. Our, herd health has been outstanding. Our pigs saved have been fantastic. So it's a good news story. it's just getting lost because, you know, we've done such a good job that we have so many, and we can't keep up with that. Things can't change that quickly at the packing level.
Yeah, what are we looking at on export side of things? Is it like 23-24% of production?
Yeah, it's currently running at those levels. I'm a little bit worried about our ability to compete here in the short run, but you know, there's a lot going on in exports for sure.
That's right. That's where we're going to pick up the conversation next with Christy McCracken on AgriTalk. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. Chinese premier struck a conciliatory tone while offering no concessions to American demands. Chinese leadership does not want to incinerate the relationship with the U.S. After a two-month COVID-related pause, Asian mills are back into the U.S. shopping for wheat. Dryness in Argentina's Parana River Basin is increasingly problematic. Argentina's Parana River, get this, at the lowest level in half a century. French wheat crop has the lowest rating in nearly a decade. And the locusts are back. They're eating Pakistan's crops. Pakistan has been battling swarms of the desert locust for the past month, and Grassley signals he will push to include eggs, turkeys in the CFAP payments. Go to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. We're having a conversation with Christine McCracken from Rabo AgriFinance today. Before we get back to that, go ahead and recap how the markets closed, Davis.
Sure thing. Well, July hard red winter wheat was 6.5 cents higher, 470.5. July soft red jumped 6.25 cents to close at 520.75. July corn futures 1.75 cents lower, 325.75. December corn closed at 338.75, down 1.5 cents today. July soybean futures were 6.25 cents lower, 840.75. Novi beans closed at 851.75, down 4.25 cents. Here's July cotton, 2 points higher at 57.59, and June live cattle futures $1.75 lower at 99.72.5. August feeders off 15 cents, 135.35, and June lean hogs were 7.5 cents lower at 56.85. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Christine McCracken is the executive director for animal protein for Rabo Research and Rabo AgriFinance. We're talking about what's going on in this this hog industry. And at the end of the last segment, we were just starting to talk about exports. What is your expectation, or what are your expectations for pork exports into the end of the year, Christine?
Yeah, well, if you'd asked me last week, I probably would have had a little different answer. To change every day when I open up my Twitter account. But, you know, I do think it's become very political. There's obviously a lot going on right now with Hong Kong and China, and that's an important market for us, and there's still a lot kind of up in the air there. I would tell you that our team in China is probably a little less optimistic on their import needs for the second half. And it's not that they don't need the product. We've talked, I think, you know, in the past about African swine fever and the losses, and they continue to see losses. They're rebuilding, but they also are really battling this ASF, and that's a problem for them. But, you know, the real issue, part of it is that our prices went up. You know, they're a price buyer. They like to buy pork when it's cheap, and we're not the cheapest supplier right now, and that's part of it. And then it has become a political football there, and so it's going to be tough, I think, for China in the second half. I'm a little bit more optimistic maybe on Korea. We're starting to see a pickup there. That's promising. It's small, obviously, smaller than the opportunity in China, but that's better. And Japan's been a good buyer. Mexico is the one that, it kind of keeps me up some nights because You know, the reality is things have slowed down there. Their economy had been struggling coming into this, and you know, their peso has been weak, so it's tougher for them to buy. But we're you know, our hams are now pricing in, and so we've seen a little pickup in demand from Mexico, and I'm hopeful that'll kind of remain more consistent here in the back half. But it's you know, kind of volatile. I think these exports are going to be kind of on and off, and that's going to create volatility in our port markets.
Okay. You know, and in the export sales reports, we're also, you know, we get our shipments details in there. One of the things that we were watching for was for China to actually take delivery of the pork that they were buying instead of just canceling. And they are, aren't they? They have taken delivery of those earlier pork purchases that were done at lower levels.
They sure did. And we think that that'll continue here, you know, through the summer. You know, the question is, as these schools come back online in China, their food service has been slow, but it's coming back. So, you know, I guess, you know, there's the political aspect of it, but the reality is they do need our pork. So, you know, pork, chicken, you know, it's an important market. And I think, you know, I'm optimistic. I'll remain optimistic, but I don't think we're going to necessarily see, you know, as much strength in exports to China as we were maybe initially looking for earlier in the year before all of this started.
Okay. Have we adjusted any of the pork processing to feed into that Chinese supply, Christine?
We'd moved some of that capacity over to three-piece carcass, carcasses, and some of that now has been shifted back, which to me is a sign that they don't think it's coming back in the second half either.
Right.
You know, but we'll still, you know, we'll be shipping off all. We'll be shipping some primals that price in. It's just that I don't expect to necessarily see all of that carcass business, you know, through the rest of the year. That's not to say, though, they won't be an important customer.
Okay, so we've got the restaurants coming back. We've got have you seen any evidence that the in-home dining benefited pork in any way, or was any benefits for pork?
Yeah, you know, I was really impressed with loins. I think they held up really well. And boy, that's been a good market in helping, you know, the carcass values here hold up better than maybe they might have otherwise. So that's been good. And, you know, I think that now over the summer, we're seeing some strength in ribs and butts. And, you know, I think that some of that, as we go through the barbecue season, I'm quite optimistic on the grilling season here.
Okay.
You know, if you think through some of this pent up demand, I think people are excited about kind of getting up and out. At least
darn
I am.
Right.
It's been so
darn
cold
right
through
we
the
are.
Spring.
So, that's right.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of these grilling items will be have quite a bit of support. But, you know, the reality is that beef is pretty expensive right now. So pork has got a window here to pick up some demand. And I think, you know, going into the 4th of July holiday, you know, Father's Day, I think that we could see quite a good kind of run here. It's really, you know, it's all dependent on the price of competing meats, and then, you know, how well we can get these retailers to support this pork. There hasn't been a lot of ad activity. You know, they haven't had to run promotions on meat, and that's, you know, it's keeping the prices high, you know, but at the same time, it might limit the movement of products. So. There's a lot of kind of drivers in there, but it's a, you know, there's definitely a lot of demand for meat. You know, it's been really impressive just to see these numbers at retail. So
good.
It's been good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's encouraging. Really encouraging. Glad to hear that optimism there. I hate the term, but I'm going to use it. Right-sizing the herd to the slaughter capacity in a new normal. Man, that was a whole bunch of terms that I don't like to use, but I just did. Has it led to any sow liquidation yet?
Yeah, we've been seeing record sow kills here, I think, or at least the highest we've seen in several years. I think it's been pushing up against 70 a week. And, I think that's what we need to do to kind of get the industry kind of back in line. We were, again, a little ahead of ourselves and had just too much out there. So, I talked to a lot of those guys. It seems like the schedules are full all the way into the fall. So I think we'll continue to see that herd reduction. And I think that, some of that will be offset as we get, a younger, healthier herd there with some, mm-hmm. some even bigger productivity gains.
Right.
I do think that we'll get it back in line. And it isn't a great option for some folks. I know it's been a difficult decision for many families that I know. Yeah. And, it's a tough process to go through. It does seem to happen every 10 years or so. But, with any luck, that'll be more supportive to the industry going forward.
Okay, we got about 2.5 minutes left here, Christine. You've talked about the optimism over the summer grilling season. We've got this smaller sow herd coming, which implies unless the efficiency and productivity offsets the fewer sows in the herd, we've got smaller pig crops coming. What is your outlook? What are you thinking is, what does the recovery in this hog industry look like?
Well, I think it'll be a healthy industry, is my hope. It'll be slightly smaller. What I'm thinking about, what I focus on a lot is trying to figure out, what are we not thinking about, I guess, in terms of competition. We talk a lot about alternative proteins and some of that. And we, I think you guys have talked about seeing a big supply of plant-based burgers in the store.
The fake
buying.
Meat.
But I think that that there is now, after all of this kind of focus on the industry and the disruption at the plants, we're going to have to reevaluate a lot of the vulnerabilities, I think, in the supply chain. So mm-hmm. Whether or not all of this discussion around labor and disruption kind of changes consumer attitudes toward meat, whether or not that gives these alternative proteins more fuel. I think some people are trying to jump to that conclusion, and I don't know if that's right. We didn't necessarily see that over this past few months, so it's something that we're evaluating now.
Okay.
There's just a lot going on.
Yeah. We've just a few seconds left. Your price outlook, what are you thinking?
I think we move lower. The cutout in the short run is going to have some challenges with slightly weaker exports and some softness in bellies. But hopefully it'll strengthen here a little in the fall and then probably a little weaker into the end of the year.
Gotcha. Christine, great conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Yep, great talking to you.
You bet. That's Christine McCracken from Rabo AgriFinance. We'll be back in a moment.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on for our family and yours.
Pork week coming your way. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Good conversation.
Really
good conversation with Christine McCracken on the price outlook. Maybe a little bit of pressure mm-hmm. going into the summer, some recovery later on. But we can't forget that the production numbers have already been adjusted for the third quarter, fourth quarter. For the second half of 2020. So it's not like we're comparing to the first quarter projections that were out there and saying, wow, we're going to be so much lower. No, we've already got that built in, and it didn't do that much to help support the market. So now it's a question of how quickly can we get the food service, can we get the restaurant demand back? Can we maintain? I was really encouraged by what she said about loin demand here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and and what is going to happen when we get the barbecue season back with pork butts and loins, of course, but and then bacon demand on top of it. So we can be optimistic about that, but we've still got to go through a period of some lower prices before we can get to some strength potentially in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. It's all going to depend on how much of the sow herd's been liquidated. Okay. I think that's going to play a big, big role in determining where we end up.
And there's also, she brought up ASF too, which is a horse that we beat nearly to death. And then it kind of fell off the radar just a little bit. But I think it does, you know, bear repeating that she brought up, they're still struggling with that over there in China. Which, you know, means that's,
and now India.
Does that mean more demand? Does that mean they accelerate, you know, trying to rebuild what they can of a healthy herd over there? That it's just, there's too many questions there for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all kinds of questions. I mean, the biggest pork producer in the country of China has already added 9 new pig farms. You think, okay, 9 new pig farms. Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's 1.2 million pigs. Is what they're expecting from those 9 operations that will then feed out to the farrowing operations. They've got like 72 different facilities under production and under construction right now, Davis. It's just it's fascinating, the scale, the scale at which they are operating. Okay, Pork Week next week. We're gonna get to the bottom line and construct that outlook as the week goes on. But right now, let's get to it. The Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor for weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district. Visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Sausages.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. Hey, you know, it's kind of this slow season right now.
have we heard this chorus before? Is that what you're
saying? Major yawn. Yes. And I told you before the show, just so you knew what we were getting into here, there's really not that much to report this week. I'm just going to run down these prices for you quick. Anhydrous ammonia regionally here down $1.82, $505.26. Kansas lead declines there down $16.30 per short ton. Kansas now at a regional average or at a statewide average of $423.50. And that's the lowest price that we've got posted here. And that's pretty typical for Kansas. They do tend to run at the bottom end of our anhydrous pricing. North Dakota is at the top end of our anhydrous price at $546.20. So quite the spread there. On your phosphates, both higher this week. DAP was 22 cents higher. MAP up $1.07 regionally. DAP now priced at $424.48, and MAP is at $420.76. This spread is still out of whack, and I guess I just don't see why it refuses to correct itself. Or maybe this is part of the new normal, where, you know, even it's gone so deep that even phosphates are experiencing new normal. I don't know. Vitamin K, potash down 60 cents by the short ton regionally, $356.85. Still, our index potash figure is above anhydrous ammonia, which has been levering for strength in anhydrous, but maybe this is the way that potash wants to be spread too. I don't know. UAN 28% up $1.06 as we round into side dress season. Here's Kansas again, this time up $12.56 to a statewide average of $240.20. Well, that's our biggest mover in 28%, and that does make sense.
Right there. Yeah,
there's a little movement. Yep. And here we are on UAN 32% too. Kansas is up $14.70 statewide there to a statewide average of $278.83. Regionally, we're just up $1.83 to a regional average $276.14. Urea is down 84 cents at $387.39. Still declining in the wholesale market on urea. So, again, I'm still hoping that we can catch up here, because wildly overpriced when we take that in that urea price and index it to anhydrous ammonia. Let's move on to the fuels. Ruby Red diesel fuel down another 2 cents, down another 2 cents to $1.48. Minnesota's down 13 cents. Wisconsin down 12. Michigan down a penny. Nebraska down a penny. Everybody else is unchanged. Nobody wants to be that guy that's like, okay, our state's going higher first. $1.48. If you need diesel, book it. I'm not calling a low here. I'm saying it feels an awful lot like a low, but since it is so low, I'm not, there's nothing to do yet. Let's make it prove it before we dive in. LP's down 3 cents on the week. All told, our nutrient, it's at a regional average of $1.12 on your LP there. Wisconsin down 9, Michigan, Minnesota each down a dime. All told, our nutrient composite index firmed 0.53 points to 541.57. Compares to about 670 at the same time last year. So we're still definitely well below last year, but nothing much to report here. Nothing much to do. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
All right.
Think about
something good else. Stuff. You cringed when you said new normal, didn't you?
I did. I hate those words.
So anything that starts with.
How do you think you strung them all together?
Yeah, when I used right sizing and new normal all in one sentence.
In these unprecedented times.
I didn't like it. 6 to 10 day forecast, June 4th through the 8th, has got those above normal temperatures all over the Corn Belt. Normal to below normal precipitation. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening today. That's from me, that's from Davis, that's from producer Joe Stackler. Monday morning, Machinery Pete and the Iowa Pork Producers, and Monday afternoon, Karen Braun from Reuters, right here on AgriTalk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
AgriTalk!